I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
What changed your mind to say, I want to be speaker?
You need someone who can unite the conference, and I think just as importantly, unite the conservative and Republican movement across this country. That's what I think I can do. That's why I'm running for the job.
To the decision that impacts tens of thousands of Americans carrying student loans, the Biden administration canceling an additional $9 billion in debt just days after repayments started up again for the first time in 3 years.
Well, the uncertainty surrounding House leadership means every other agenda item will have to wait until the job gets filled. And that includes a deal on U.S. funding for the war in Ukraine. Yesterday, President Biden expressed his concern over the issue.
But I know there are a majority of members of the House and Senate in both parties who have said that they support funding Ukraine.
The Biden administration's waiving dozens of federal laws to build a border wall in South Texas. It's the first time the administration's used this type of executive power.
I will not be bullied. And so Mr. Trump is no longer here. The Donald Trump show is over. This was nothing more than a political stunt.
I have no advice to give to House Republicans except one. I hope whoever the next speaker is gets rid of the motion to vacate.
A small band of MAGA extremists plunged Congress into pandemonium. For the first time in history, the speaker has been removed from his position at the hands of radicals that he empowered from day one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily with Jack Posobiec, live Washington, D.C., breaking down all the craziness. Ladies and gentlemen, today is October 5th, 2023, Anno Domini, and I'm here to tell you that Donald J. Trump may very soon be on his way to Capitol Hill. We're now receiving breaking news. This is out of the post-millennial. You guys have to check this out. That Donald J. Trump himself is considering a visit to Capitol Hill. Now, does it actually mean that Donald Trump might become Speaker? We now know that I can tell you right now, the two current leads, Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise, of course, more the establishment pick, not really a MAGA guy, also somebody who's facing a lot of health difficulties of his own. Jim Jordan, a guy who's seen as more MAGA, but Jim Jordan also someone who's seen as a good talker, but not someone who has a great track record of delivery. This is why the grassroots must understand that we have a new tactic. We have a new tactic on our hands to hold leadership accountable. And let me explain what it is. It's called the MAGA nuclear option. And it's as simple as this. Command by negation. Either you comply with the MAGA agenda. Either you comply with defunding the deep state, with actually doing something about the weaponization of the DOJ against conservatives. The FBI is out there leaking their own press releases saying that they've, to Newsweek, saying that they've started a task force specifically targeting Trump supporters. Not people that are going and forming militias, actually starting Trump supporters. Now understand, the FBI and the Biden administration leaked that to try to bait you. Don't take the bait. But here's my question for the next speaker. Are you willing to actually do what needs to be done? And here's the thing. If you're not, the motion to vacate the MTV, it's going to be deployed against you again and again and again and again. Because that's the dirty little secret. We are not locked in here with you. you're locked in here with all of us. And so either you comply or you get out of the way. Lead, follow, or we will remove you. It's as simple as that. Once the nuclear option has been done, it's on the table and it could be done again and again and again. So the real question is for Jim Jordan, for Steve Scalise, for anybody else who wants to be speaker, are you going to deliver or are we going to have to make you disappear again? And it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Did you think that we were playing? Welcome to the churn, GOP establishment. Either you go along with this or you go home. It's as simple as that. The choice, dear friends, is yours. You can make your own history. You can write your own destiny. You're either with us or you're with them. It's quite simple. I'm making it very easy for you, and I guarantee I'm going to back it up. Stay tuned. We've got Gavin Wax coming with us, and then a special interview. Roger Stone coming up later as Human Events Daily continues. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Human Events Daily. Jack Posobiec here, Washington, D.C. I want to tell you a little bit about today's episode sponsor. It's a new sponsor here on Human Events. And so I don't know if you saw that video. We're going to talk about it a little later this week about Antifa Betty and her soy friend. But that guy is a great example of what happens when you lack testosterone. When you are just so low T that you can't even defend yourself or others on the street. Well, if you fall into that category, or if you're just looking for a T boost, let me tell you something. Chalk is the one supplement on the market that we have partnered with. They're now working with Human Events. They're sponsoring today's episode. And let me tell you something. It will boost your strength and testosterone that ways that have not been seen since 2016. It boosts energy, balances your hormones. It's organic and all natural. You'll feel the difference. Trust me. And they have all the clinical studies to back it up. Look, watching Human Events strengthens your mind and your resolve and your spirit. Chalk is going to help you strengthen your body. Say what, Chalk has been on my radar since they had their Instagram deleted for speaking out against communist censorship. And if you are looking to improve your energy levels, your T levels, Chalk should be on your radar too. Right now, you can try Chalk's Male Vitality Stack for 35% off. If you go to chalk.com, spelled C-H-O-Q, and use promo code POSO for 35% off any Chalk subscription for life. Chalk is manufactured in the U.S. by American patriots, so you can reclaim your energy and vitality from the deep state, the globalists, the big pharma commies, and the soy friends today. That's chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com, promo code POSO. All right, now, since we're talking about this speaker fight, we're hearing that President Trump is planning a trip to the Capitol. I want to handicap all of this. I want to bring on a Republican official, in a sense, if you will, Gavin Wax, who is the head of the New York Young Republican Club, as much as so many of the other Young Republicans seem to hate that fact. He is still there. Gavin, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's great to be a Republican official today. Lots to discuss. Lots happening in the Republican Party.
So handicap this out for us. We've got this situation where Scalise and Jordan are sort of the two front runners. Scalise, okay, he's House Majority Leader. He's next in line. Has some medical issues, right? Serious medical issues that could potentially prevent it. He's put his name in for it, though. At the same time, he's seen as very establishment. Jim Jordan is seen as someone who is more grassrootsy, more MAGA. But I would say, and I say this with respect, there are questions about his track record when it comes to deliverables. They say he's all talk. They say he's never delivered from Fast and Furious, Benghazi, all the way forward. Well, Benghazi was Trey Gowdy. But again, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Just this lack of deliverables. Then you have President Trump potentially coming in. What I would say is what he's going to do is he's using this potential of Trump to become Speaker of the House himself as leverage over the rest of the party. He's actually exerting his leadership as the leader of the Republican Party. And to that same vein, we now have essentially this new MAGA nuclear option, the command by negation, whereby in, regardless of who gets in, there's nothing really to stop Matt Gaetz from doing this again if they do not agree to the terms. What say you, Gavin Wex?
Well, several things. I definitely agree with how you framed it. I think Jordan obviously is the more anti-establishment of the candidates being put forward. It looks like they're coalescing around either Scalise or Jordan. Obviously, Scalise is a continuation of the good old boys. He's from the party leadership. He has been, you know, next in line, heir apparent. I still think as a baseline, changing leadership, no matter who ends up replacing, still sets good precedent, which is why this motion to vacate is so powerful, because it's going to put whoever comes in next on their toes and force them to be held accountable. But certainly if we were to get a Speaker Jordan, that would be a massive win. It would be a massive change in Republican leadership, a massive change in the right direction, I would add, even while agreeing that, you know, maybe some things on the deliverables could be improved upon. He certainly would be a monumental shift and change for the better in terms of rhetoric, in terms of policy and all the rest. Now, listen, President Trump becoming speaker, is it going to happen? I would love it to happen. Is it a high possibility? Probably not. I mean, frankly, even though he has somewhere north of 60-65% plus of the Republican primary electorate under his fingers, that does not translate into the Republican House conference, which just goes to show how divided the party leadership and the party electeds are from the actual grassroots Republican voters. The vast majority of the Republican Party love Trump, want him to be the leader, want him to be president again, and frankly would probably support him for speaker, but he probably would not have the votes on the House floor. But honestly, Jack, let's have that vote. Let's do a few rounds with Trump in the mix. I would love to see on record who votes, who doesn't, who supports him, who doesn't. I think it would be great. And listen, I think people like our friend Steve Bannon have put forward, the interim speakership for Trump. You know, everyone can start fighting and, you know, chasing after the gavel. Give him, 100, 200 days, whatever he needs. Clean up House, cut funds to the DOJ, the FBI, issue subpoenas, all the rest, the power of the gavel. Just let him hold it. Just let him hold the gavel for a little bit. And I think our whole country would be in a much better place. But in all seriousness, I think we're going to be up for a big fight in the weeks ahead. I doubt this is settled next week. I think this is going to go on for quite some time. But I love that President Trump is seizing the moment, heading down. And frankly speaking, if this battle continues on and we can't settle on a speaker, I think the chances of a Trump speakership continue to rise marginally with every passing day. So let's see what happens. But I like this three-way race. I think we're in good shape for the future of the party, thanks to the motion to vacate and the courageous leadership of Congressman Gaetz.
Well, I have to say, though, it really is Donald Trump exerting himself. And by the way, if you notice, has lost no political capital whatsoever since starting this this route. And so not a single, you notice, even in leadership, right? So you'll hear these guys, they're popping off now, and there's going to be a huge anti-Gaetz campaign, well-funded. People are screaming about him. People are, coming up with all these crazy ex-girlfriend type stories about him. You notice not a single one of these guys is dare speak out against Donald Trump. There's a reason for that. Show me any other Republican contender right now that could do something so brazen and then just get away with it. Trump, he does it without even thinking, because he knows where the bodies lie. He knows where everything stands. And so when Trump comes in there, I think what he's doing is you're seeing a classic example of the art of the deal, where he's setting the initial, right? He's setting his initial bid as extremely high, saying, I will be speaker, I will stand. And of course, the danger then is that if he starts putting that up on Truth Social, if he starts pumping that out over text message to his massive email audience, all the followers that he has in the party, the tens of millions, right? He could destroy anyone's chances of being speaker overnight with a couple of tweets, you know, from his thumb. And so essentially what he's saying is the next speaker isn't a decision that's made by the House of Representatives. It's a decision that's made by Donald Trump.
And amen to that. And I think we need that kind of leadership because this party has lacked it. It's been completely rudderless. It's been completely donor driven. It's been driven by special interests. It's been driven by the lobbyists. It's been driven by these unnamed, unseen party hacks behind the scenes. I'd much rather this power be concentrated in Donald Trump. We know what he's about. We know what he brings to the table. We know where his heart is, and his heart is behind the American people and this country. So I have absolutely no problem with him playing, party boss, with him playing, kingmaker. I want him to play that role. I want him to be more involved. And I think with this chaos, that's the word that everyone's using, chaos, that he can step in and really force real change in a positive direction. And, you know, maybe he doesn't fully run, but maybe he gets behind someone once things begin to coalesce more and the battle lines are more defined. But ultimately, I think we're having these discussions, and these are good discussions because it's all positive. It's all moving in the right direction. We're moving away from the status quo. The status quo was getting us nowhere. And these establishment hacks you were talking about, they're about to go on the counteroffensive against Gates and others. I'm sure of it. I mean, their gaslighting was off the charts. These people were coming out saying, how dare Democrats vote with these turncoat Republicans. Meanwhile, they had no problem. They had no problem with all these Democrats voting for the continuing resolution put forward by McCarthy. They have no principles. All their talking points are just conjured up on the spot out of convenience. These are guys that will vote with the Dems a huge portion of their voting record, and then they'll cry foul when you vote with the Dems to take out a speaker that everyone has felt has failed in his duties and in his
role, the ultimate,
and backstabbed, in terms of his commitments and his promises back in January.
I'd simply say that the ultimate voting with the Dems is Ukraine funding. If you are for Ukraine funding and you're attacking someone for voting with the Dems against the interests of your own constituents, then I'd really question whether or not you're serious about that. Because if you are, then that's great. Then join us in standing up to funding another endless war. Join us in standing up towards funding of another cause that has nothing to do with direct effects on the United States. Putin's over there right now talking about how Nord Stream 2 is actually not completely disabled, how one of the pipelines is open, how they can keep the spice flowing, essentially. He's given a huge speech. They're conducting nuclear tests. Again, this is not a fight that the United States needs right now. This is not a fight that the United States wants right now. I'm much more concerned with the existential threat of China, particularly on the military side. But if we're going to pick two fights with two great powers in the world at the same time, then we're going to run directly into John Mearsheimer's warning. So please, please, House Republicans, if you want to stand up against Ukraine funding and actually be against the Democrats, then yes, I implore you, join us. Join us immediately. But first, you're going to have to make a deal with Donald Trump. Come back next. Our interview, Gavin Wax, continues.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Folks, I got to tell you about today. We have another sponsor, Allegiance Gold. And I think it goes without saying the importance of gold with everything that we're facing right now. The United States teetering on the brink of an economic meltdown. At any moment, your savings, your retirement could be gone in an instant. Inflation hitting 40-year highs, prices spiraling out of control, our dollars buying less and less, Americans racking up more debt than ever before. Just stay afloat. Gasoline prices are spiking. Your monthly bills are escalating. This is what inflation is. It's that silent evil force that eats away at your purchasing power. Basic necessities are now unattainable luxuries. And when prices spiral out of control, they not only disrupt your ability to live day by day, they jeopardize your savings and retirement. And know this. As your living expenses rise higher than the income that you, your retirement savings can generate, you'll eventually run out of money. Don't let it happen to you. Protect your retirement with gold. Gold is the smartest and most responsible investment you can make for you and your family. It's a safe haven asset that protects your purchasing power and your wallet from inflation. Take it from me. It's financially intelligent for you to diversify your retirement accounts with gold and protect what you've worked so hard for. When it comes to protecting your IRA or 401k, I would only trust the best, my friends at Allegiance Gold. Allegiance Gold has the highest trust ratings in the precious metal industry and builds relationships based on integrity, expertise, and impeccable service. Get up to $5,000 in free silver on qualifying purchase when you visit protectwithposo.com today or give them a call, 844-577-POSO. Do not wait. Take control of your retirement today. Go to 844-577-POSO and speak with one of their experts. They'll answer all your questions and help you get started on the path to a more secure and prosperous retirement. Time is of the essence. Protect your future with Allegiance Gold. Protectwithposo.com. Gavin Wax, we're speaking with him about handicapping the speaker's race, but also talking about how Donald Trump has been able to maneuver himself to the center of it. Now, Gavin, here's an interesting take that I don't think anyone has pointed out yet. Where is the dog that's not barking? We're told that Governor Ron DeSantis is this waiting in the wings leader of the Republican Party, and yet you've seen no endorsement from DeSantis, you've seen no statement from him, you've seen no real leadership whatsoever on this question of the speakership. In fact, I think I'm probably the first person anywhere that's even pointed this out. I doubt that anyone in his campaign, which they're currently having to turn all of their headquarters staff into field staff in Iowa because they can't afford to hire anyone locally, do they even realize that the fact that nobody cares who DeSantis's pick is shows their complete lack of political capital and influence over the party right now?
I would hope they would recognize that, Jack, but I think they're so deluded and, you know, believing their own lies and their own narratives that they can't even see the truth right in front of them. I mean, the fact of the matter is he wasn't the maverick that everyone's claiming he is. He didn't come out on this issue, whether, you know, supporting McCarthy or against McCarthy. He's kind of just waited in the sidelines trying to see, you know, how things unfold. And frankly, most of, you know, what he says comes through the mouths, not of his own, but of his surrogates and his online influencers and his, you know, paid influencer industrial complex that runs online. So a lot of that have come out, and the commentary we've seen from these folks has largely been, you know, finding a way to spin this to attack Trump, say, oh, you know, Trump originally picked McCarthy and yada, yada, yada. That's all they can say. They actually aren't giving any value to the discussion. They're not adding anything unique or an interesting take. In fact, I've seen them sort of lean towards, you know, praising McCarthy and defending the establishment talking points, primarily because I guess the ringleader, if you will, of this ousting was a congressman, Congressman Gates, who had endorsed President Trump. So I think that's the only guiding principle that they even have right now. It's we'll just do whatever is the opposite of Trump or the opposite of Trump's broader world and network. There's no real substance to it anymore. But even if there was, no one is looking to Governor DeSantis for leadership on this issue. They're not looking to him for guidance. He's kind of just a passerby in all of this. And people are forgetting about him every day this campaign goes on. So it's a sad state of affairs for the once promising political future of the Florida governor. But he has only himself to blame, his consultants to blame, and his inner circle, who have totally destroyed his future political capital on this vanity project, which has really turned into a disaster of a presidential campaign of epic proportions.
All right, at this point, Gavin, I would say that Ron DeSantis is probably a few primary points. At this point, I would say Ron is a few percentage points away from primarying Joe Biden on switch. Just go ahead and switching to the other side and you know, maybe giving that a shot now that RFK is out of the race. Just go ahead and switch and try your luck over there. But what I would sum it up as is you took a guy who at the end of last year had all this political capital built up, had a huge victory in the gubernatorial race, and I don't mean this to dump on him because it's really not my intention here, but the word is irrelevant. he has become politically irrelevant. His campaign has become politically irrelevant. And it's amazing to see that here we are just 10 months away, or excuse me, 10 months from, you know, him really taking that victory last year, and now to have become basically someone that if we were not talking about him right now, I don't even think he'd be in the conversation. That's how far this guy has fallen. Someone who, Kevin, I know, I remember conversations that you and I had talking about how we hoped that Ron DeSantis would go on to be this sort of heir apparent for the party, for the movement, how he was a great leader, how we supported him when he was in office. That's why I think it's so funny when people bring up these tweets, and okay, I'm definitely going on the tangent now, where it's like, oh, you said something nice about him in 2022. You said something nice about him in 2020. I stand by what I said. I've been at events with him. I've promoted events with him. He's been a fantastic governor. What I've said is don't do this. Don't turn and turn your horns on the guy that put you in office. Just wait for all of this to run out, right? Let Trump come back, have his response to Biden. You can go in. Okay, you tested it, pulled out. But no, they refuse to do this, and it's just sad. Quite frankly, it's just sad.
No, you're right on the money. I mean, I've been on the receiving end of those same attacks. I mean, most of MAGA was once very complimentary of the governor and very supportive of the governor,
and vice versa, by the way, and vice versa,
exactly. And you know, they'll bring up these old tweets and share them as if it matters or this means anything. And I would say, yeah, it means that you guys have really lost a lot of support and burnt a lot of bridges since the end of last year, where he peaked. He peaked like a girl in high school. That was his political career. He peaked in December of last year, and he's collapsed since then. And honestly, President Trump is right to make this about loyalty. His entire political career, being Ron DeSantis, was owed to President Trump. President Trump elevated him from losing a primary. He elevated him from losing a general election. He created a political environment, a political realignment in Florida that Ron DeSantis was able to capitalize on and run away with. All of these things were because of MAGA. They were because of President Trump. And Trump is so right to hit him on loyalty, because people are sick of the status quo. They're sick of these usual politicians who are driven by consultants, by their ambition, by their ego, by their focus groups, and they look at things like loyalty, and they look at things like how you're going to treat someone like Donald Trump, and how you're going to repay him for all he's done for you, and they see him completely backstab the president, and they say, this is not a guy that I view with high respect. This is not a guy that I see a lot of great character traits in, not someone I want to rally behind. And you could argue about that till you're blue in the face, but the polls don't lie, the numbers don't lie, the crowd size doesn't lie. All of these things are adding up and showing that this is a campaign in decline. You look at their latest fundraising numbers, they're burning through cash like you've never seen before. They barely have cash on hand. Trump's numbers, excluding the PAC, excluding the super PAC, are phenomenal with his cash on hand, with his ability to raise. He's a juggernaut on this front. It's primarily from small donors, not the big donors, not the fat cats like Ron DeSantis has been groveling to, where most of his campaign events are actually just, you know, these exclusive fundraisers. I mean, the list goes on. We can continue to pick apart his campaign, and people will pick apart his campaign for the next decade to study what not to do. It's a sad state of affairs. And again, I reiterate, he was a good governor. There were a lot of things that MAGA complimented him on, but the rhetoric, the tone, the viciousness, the smears, the attacks that his entire, you know, expanded campaign have waged on MAGA has destroyed him going forward. And
I've got him
being a contender in 2028.
He's holding a rally right now in Tampa, Florida. And I know someone who's there just sent me a picture. I don't know if you can get it up in time, but it's like 50 people in his own state. In his own state, it's about 50 people.
Well, he's down like 20 something points in Florida.
Well, and I have to say this, Gavin. Here's what gets me, and we have a couple of minutes left, is this brazenness to falsely claim that he is the man who turned Florida red all by himself, to take full credit for one of Donald Trump's greatest victories, to take full credit for Donald Trump remaking the political geography of the United States by going in and bringing so many Hispanics, Cubans, Venezuelans over, particularly in Florida, Puerto Ricans, over to the Republican side. This idea that Ron DeSantis solely is responsible for this. And that, by the way, Rubio almost also won by almost 20 points in the exact same year, who faced, by the way, a very much more credible challenger than, you know, the Charlie
Crist. And spent less money.
And was way overspent. Almost, I think it was like $75 million to $50 million, something like that. And yeah. So this idea that Ron DeSantis is solely, I'm not going to say that he doesn't deserve any credit, but this idea of I'm running around, oh, I did it all by myself. I did it. It's all me. Nobody else takes any credit. It just, I don't know. It's just, it strikes me as, and it's funny because these are the same people who call Donald Trump the world's greatest narcissist. Well, last minute, Gavin Wax.
No, amen. The first time Trump ran versus the first time DeSantis ran, Trump had like 650,000 more votes. For both of their reelection, Trump presidential and DeSantis's gubernatorial, Trump got 1 million more votes. So the raw vote totals in both elections were higher. He spent a fraction of the money. Obviously, most of his money was spread around the country, a fraction compared to what DeSantis spent, only concentrated in Florida. And then they make this presidential results. By that same metric, you would have people like Larry Hogan or people like Charlie Baker being presidential contenders, because both of them flipped blue states by incredible margins as a Republican.
Yes,
Republican,
exactly.
Governors. So they ignore all this. You bring up the great point of Marco Rubio. Everyone forgets the last two cycles before 2016, before Trump flipped Florida, it had gone blue. This was a state that Trump realigned. He set it in motion. He continued to move it in that direction. And sure, DeSantis capitalized on it. DeSantis expanded some margins. But to take full credit just goes to show to the narcissistic angle and to the lack of loyalty.
Gavin Wax, follow him. Follow him on Twitter. A firebrand in the style of Matt Gaetz. Give him a follow. Roger Stone joins us next.
Hear about the boring people at your office and trying to listen to the new human events. With Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. And I have a question. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and the next thing you know, you're getting ads for the exact products that match what you were just talking about? I call it ad popping. Between government, big tech, corporate America, and criminals, your privacy is compromised 24/7. And that's on top of the side effects from radiation that cell phone corporations swear is safe. Detox from your phone today with Silent. Don't you wish that you had Silent, this light and portable Faraday sleeve, yesterday during the emergency broadcast system test, where they were pinging everyone's phone in the entire country without warrants yesterday? Guess what? If you use Silent's Faraday sleeve, you wouldn't have had that problem. This is patented Silent Pocket Faraday technology, and it blocks all radiation, all wireless signals. It gives you peace of mind that your personal data never ends up in the wrong hands. You know, producer Foz told me that he had his phone in his Silent sleeve yesterday, and guess what? No emergency broadcast system. Yes, producer Foz told me that it worked. So go Silent today at slnt.com/poso. Use promo code POSO and save 15% plus free shipping on qualifying orders. We here at Human Events, we're challenging the government, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, the big corporate interests, and we are on the front lines and have to protect our privacy at all times, especially when the government is trying to track down all of us. And the FBI is setting up task forces to go after all of MAGA. So I am so thankful that Silent was created. Go to slnt.com/poso. Again, that is slnt.com/poso. Promo code POSO, 15% plus free shipping. Producer Foz tested it yesterday, said it worked. I want to bring on now our next guest, Republican presidential strategist and political strategist, Roger Stone. Roger, you were here on Human Events Daily a couple of months ago, and you told us, and you got some pushback and some criticism for this statement when you said that Governor DeSantis's campaign would be out of money by October. So come October, he'd be out of money. I said, all right, Roger said that. He's got experience in this, but, you know, it seemed like it seemed to fly in the face of conventional wisdom because his campaign was flush with cash at the time. However, here we are, Q3, and we've got the numbers all coming in, and it shows that Governor DeSantis's campaign currently only has $5 million cash on hand for the primary. To put that in perspective for people, $5 million is a mid to low tier congressional campaign level of money. This is nowhere near the amount of money that you would need to spend for a nationwide campaign. Roger, how did you get it so right?
Well, unfortunately, as you know, I am, first of all, a veteran of 13 national Republican presidential campaigns. But from the beginning, Governor Ron DeSantis chose to run a front runner's campaign when he was never really the front runner. And their level of spending was obscene. They were not planning for the long term. They really ran the Rolls Royce of campaigns. Look, in 1976, when I was working for Ronald Reagan, there were times when Governor and Mrs. Reagan flew commercial to save money in their campaign. The DeSantises have never flown other than in a private jet. So their expectation level politically was out of control. Their spending was out of control. And then I even factored in the layoffs, the multiple reboots, and I still recalculated that at their rate of spend, even with those reductions, they would essentially be out of gas, out of money in October. Now they have dialed back their campaign, so they're no longer on the ground in Nevada, we're no longer on the ground in New Hampshire, no longer on the ground any place other than Iowa. They have put all their chips on Iowa, yet the latest poll information from Iowa continues to indicate Donald Trump has not only a huge lead, but a growing lead. So the disciplines for Trump are quite different. The votes already exist for him to win the Iowa caucuses. All he has to do is identify them and turn them out. Today, the votes do not exist for Ron DeSantis to win the Iowa caucuses. He would first have to convert people, tell people who he is, convert them and get their commitment and get them out. I don't see it happening. This is a campaign that has been a dumpster fire from the beginning.
Yeah, Roger, we've got a picture now. This is Ron DeSantis's event. He's holding a rally in Tampa right now, in Tampa, Florida. We've got someone who's there sent me a picture. This is Tampa, Florida. This is his own backyard. He's from the Tampa area originally. And I can't count more than 50 people in this picture. Roger, what's going on? You're out of Florida. How do you have a guy who admittedly is you know, won on a pretty popular ticket just a few months ago? How has it gotten to this point?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors here. First of all, taking the measure of the Florida Republican presidential primary in the immediate aftermath of the gubernatorial race means that all of that paid media, television, radio, cable, digital, that was used to push the governor's reelection was still fresh in the mind of the voters. So he actually at one point had a lead over President Trump. As the memory of that multi-million dollar spending has receded, and also as President Trump's campaign has been turbocharged by the tsunami of lawfare against him, completely unforeseeable, but counterintuitive. The more he is attacked in the judicial system, the stronger and deeper his support grows. Trump has pulled out to a long lead here in the Sunshine State. Now, if I were Governor DeSantis, I would be looking for a comfortable way out of this race because he's not going to break through. He's not going to win this nomination. I must tell you, Jack, I did not think in the beginning that voters cared about things like loyalty and history and the fact that Donald Trump was single-handedly responsible for the rise and election of Ron DeSantis. I thought that was kind of inside. Folks in Iowa certainly didn't know it, nor folks in New Hampshire. I was completely wrong about that. Character does matter to voters in this instance. And I think just that act of treachery, that act of backstabbing, has hurt the governor very badly here. Combine that with the fact that he paid $1 million to the Speaker of the House, essentially funneling it to his PAC in return for a change of Florida state law that allows Ron DeSantis alone to be the only state elected official who doesn't have to resign while running for federal office. To Floridians, this whole thing began to stink some time ago.
No, it seems that is borne out because You've seen this again. Let me ask you this, and we've got a couple of minutes before, and then we'll take a break. I'd like to hold you over. Does the governor, what does the governor's political future look like this? Let's say he comes in second in Iowa, makes it to New Hampshire, comes in, but New Hampshire, he's currently running third or fourth. So let's say the money runs out by New Hampshire. Let's say somehow by a wing and a prayer, he's able to stay until then, comes out of the race, whether endorses, he doesn't. Where does he go after this?
Well, remember, he's term limited. He's in his second term, yes. And Florida only allows a governor to serve for two terms. So he cannot run. I have predicted that his wife, Casey DeSantis, will run for governor in his stead. That'll be a horse race. There's no presumption that she would be an automatic front runner. I think they are too addicted to the money, too addicted to the acclaim, too addicted to the private jets and the fancy resorts and the five-star hotels. So I stand by my prediction that she will be a candidate for governor, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's a winner. There's no U.S. Senate race in this state. There's one this coming cycle. Rick Scott will be reelected. Next one isn't until 2028. I think that the governor's done substantial damage to his political brand. And as the state has an insurance crisis, and as the state has a utility rate crisis, and as the state has a malaria crisis, there is a growing sense that the governor is MIA. Believe me, they are back to pushing CRT in the public schools, something he told us wasn't going to happen. The culture war here has been reignited, and the governor, where's he? Why, he's in Iowa.
No, he's certainly all over the place, and the issues in Florida continue to remain. We've seen, and again, I'll still say, as I said to Gavin Wax before he came on, Roger, I think he's had a fairly good record as governor of Florida. I would have liked to see him continue that rather than continue on this quest. Our exclusive interview with Roger Stone continues after the break. I want to get Roger's handicap of the speaker's race. This tight, close race seems to be all the rage here in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure that Roger Stone has some insights for all of us.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec here, live Washington, D.C., Roger Stone out of Florida. Roger, there's so much action in Washington, D.C. We launched the show with the breaking news that President Trump himself might be making a trip from his courtroom appearance in New York down to Capitol Hill for this speaker vote. My phone's been ringing off the hook with reporters and politicos. Hey, Jack, support me. Jack, attack this guy. Go after this. And I said, I'll keep my powder dry and I'll do what I think is right for the movement and what is right for the country. Now, what I think President Trump is doing, just to reiterate what I said at the beginning here, I think this is classic art of the deal. I think what he's doing is setting his opening bid high. He's establishing himself as the leader of the party. He's using his leverage in order to make the next speaker come through him. He's acting as the leader of the party. He's showing us that he's the leader of the party. Ron DeSantis, of course, is showing us that he's politically irrelevant because nobody's even asking who Ron DeSantis's pick is. Now, that being said, it seems as though the two horses right now that people are betting on are Scalise and Jordan. A lot of people getting behind Jordan, but I'll just say it publicly, I think Jordan has some questions when it comes to his ability to achieve deliverables for the movement. He talks a good game, but, you know, there's an expression in, as a wrestler, I'm sure he's heard this, who did you ever beat? And so, you know, I think that's really where the chips fall right now. But at the same time, because Gates has given us this MAGA nuclear option, the grassroots really still have command by negation, because whoever gets in there, Gates and the Gates block, could just do this again if the terms are not bent. But let's hear from you, Roger. What do you think?
Well, first of all, a word in defense of Matt Gaetz. There are some in this party who have said that Gaetz took this courageous action for a desire for limelight, or to build his own image, or to raise money, or out of some personal agenda. I think that is outrageous. He has acted as a matter of principle. He knows he's going to take an enormous amount of incoming from the party establishment and their allies in the mainstream media cabal. But at a time when America sorely needs leadership, he has stepped up and delivered it in spades. Secondarily, it doesn't really matter whether the next speaker is Steve Scalise of Louisiana or Jim Jordan of Ohio or even Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, if they are going to pursue the same feckless course as Kevin McCarthy. What matters here is the agenda of the House Republicans. It is an agenda that Kevin McCarthy agreed to. It's an agenda that Kevin McCarthy reneged on. I'm comforted by the fact that Donald Trump is going to be at the table. In my heart, of course, I would love to see him to become speaker. I don't think that is likely. He's running for president. He may be as many as 60 points ahead within the Republican Party. He has, I think, broad respect in the party, and he does know how to cobble together a deal. So I'm comforted by the fact that he's going to be there. It is not easy to take a caucus of 218 Republicans, which does include 18 members whose districts were carried by Joe Biden, let's call them moderate or establishment Republicans, as well as the Gang of Eight, the hardcore patriots that brought to us this historic moment. And then a broad swath of conservatives in the middle and come up with a majority. But we need to do so soon. And whoever the new speaker is needs to be committed to the same agenda that was required of Kevin McCarthy, but he reneged on term limits,
and Roger,
reform, and so on.
Roger, do you view then this Gates option, I call it the MAGA nuclear option, as essentially a check on leadership, because essentially whoever becomes the next speaker, there's nothing to stop Gates from doing this again?
And that is the insurance policy. Yesterday I saw Mitch McConnell say he didn't know who the next speaker would be, but the first thing the next speaker needs to do is get rid of the ability to make a motion to vacate the chair. There it is. If you ever needed proof that important codicil needs to remain in place, there it is. So we don't go down this road yet again. I like Jim Jordan. I think he could have been and can be more aggressive in his pursuit of Hunter Biden. The Democrats had no problem subpoenaing people to the January 6th committee, that kabuki theater. The Democrats had no problem when they were in control of subpoenaing members of the Trump circle and the Trump family and the Trump administration to the House Select Committee on Intelligence. Why has nobody with the last name Biden been sent a subpoena looking into the epic corruption of Hunter Biden, Jimmy Biden, Joe Biden, and the Biden crime family? It seems like we are going slow at a time that the American people need to know more.
Here's my deal on that, and maybe Trump could be the one to broker it. And I posted this tweet yesterday. Matt Gaetz liked it last night. Now, Matt and I haven't spoken about this directly, but I said, now, Jordan is currently the head of this weaponization committee. If he becomes speaker, you give the weaponization committee to Gaetz, give him full subpoena authority, give him full hiring, firing, staffing ability. You could bring in Julie Kelly as an investigator, bring in Darren Beatty, make Jeff Clark or Mike Davis the staff attorney, and just let them go hog wild. What do you think about that one?
I love that idea. Look, it is time for accountability, but it's also time for us to play the game the way they play it. There, we have now seen, despite what Jerry Nadler or AOC may say, extensive evidence of extortion, bribery, racketeering, money laundering, illegal lobbying, let's just say it, treason, multi-million dollar payments from China, Russia, Ukraine, Romania. There's not just smoke here, there's fire. But Jason Smith's done the best job in the Congress because he's actually put these things out for the public record. I like James Comer. I like Jim Jordan. but it seems to me like they are holding back. So I like your idea of putting Matt Gaetz in charge of this investigation. We may finally learn the truth, which ultimately will lead to articles of impeachment against Joe Biden.
Roger Stone, we're just about out of time. Where can people go to follow you and get into the Stone Zone?
Every single day at StoneZone.live at 5 p.m. or go to StoneZone.com. On the weekends, WABCRadio.com from 4 to 6 now on Sunday afternoons.
Roger Stone, the man who called it, called the shot, took the shot. That's Roger Stone. He's been the man in more arenas than we will ever see in our lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.